God.
Amen. God is good. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. While you're turning, I'll pray. Father God, we come here this morning seeking none other than you. Meet us, Lord God, right where we are. You know where we are as a whole. You know where we are as individuals. Pray, Lord God, that you come and that you help us right there, that you encourage us right there, right where we are, Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are the only one who holds that power. For the flowers fade and the grass withers, Lord God, but your word is forever. So plant it in our hearts, Father, because we need you. And in Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Amen. If you would please remain seated for the word, I'm going to read this whole story. On the road to Emmaus. And it starts Luke 24, verse 13. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, you're the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before priests and our rulers, delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Let's stop there. I want us to focus on this topic and subject matter. No hope. Now, we have to change our perspective and not look at the spelling. And we have to get a spelling check on this thing. So it's not N-O hope, no hope, but it's K-N-O-W, hope. No hope. When they were walking on the road, it said that they did not know him. He walked with them. They were in pain. They were in struggle. They were in doubt because Jesus was supposed to be the one to save Israel. That's where their hope lied. And when Jesus got crucified and he was buried in the tomb, because they couldn't see hope, they lost hope. And I know time and time again, this happens to me myself, as when I'm hoping in something, and that plan that I had preordained, when it so-called fails, I lose hope. And I get discouraged. And I start talking about the things that caused it to fail. And all of a sudden, because I can't see it flourishing the way that I thought it up and conjured it up in my mind, I lose hope. And when they lost hope, they begin to walk up the road of Damascus. And it said that he drew near, which means he caught up to them. Because they lost hope. Their mind was everywhere but on him, so he had to come and make himself present. He said, I am a very present help in a time of trouble. So he made himself very present in their situation, yet they didn't know it was him. He was with them the whole time. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't care what issue it may be. I don't care if it's with your children. I don't care if it's with your parents. I don't care if it's with your schoolwork. I don't care if it's with your health. Jesus is right there with you. It had to happen. He had to be lifted up. He said, when I be lifted up before man, he said, I will draw all men to me when I be lifted up. So he had to take the nails so that other people may be saved. I'm telling you this because there's things that you have to go through. There's crushing that you have to face in order for the best to come out of you. Greater the pain, greater the glory. Greater the pain, greater the glory. See, if I am going through a struggle with my rent, yeah, I know I have a check coming, but it's just going to be coming a little bit of late, and I'm going to have to pay a little bit extra, maybe an extra $50. It's like, thank you, Jesus. But when I lost my job, my bills need to be paid. My kids need to eat. I need gas in my vehicle to get from one point to the other. And out of nowhere, somebody who I never expected puts a gift in my hand. That's when I bow down. That's when I break in front of the church, and I don't care who's watching me work. That's when I say, thank you, Jesus. They lost. lost hope because they couldn't see hope. But they didn't understand that hope had to leave them so that hope could come inside of them. This happens to us when we don't see things happening the way, when we get in an argument with somebody else, and we lose hope for that situation, and we lose hope for that relationship. We might lose that hope, but we don't. What we have to understand is that hope is inside of us, and he's ever present. He's always with us. I asked, you guys may have seen me come to First Lady, and I asked her, I said, I like these candles in here. Would the fire alarm go off or something? She said, it might. So I'm not going to light this candle. We use wisdom. But I'm going to tell you this. This is one of them candles that when you blow it out, it comes back. When you blow it out, it comes back. So the thing is that if I were to light this candle, you have to understand that the higher you get up on the mountain, the more the wind blows. So the higher you're getting in Christ, the more pain, the more struggles is going to come at you because now you're able to take more. And in order for God to get the best out of you, in order for God to get the best out of that relationship, he has to put you through more. If you notice these marriages that's been together for years and years on end, they went through something. They'll tell you about their struggle. And they know that they love each other because they stayed through the pain. They stayed through the times when they weren't agreeing on everything. When that person offended them, they endured it. So it built up not only them individually, but it built up that relationship. You never know love until you know hate. You don't know if you really love somebody until they do something. I always say, tell somebody no. Tell them no. When they want something, you're like, nope, I'm not going to do that. See if they don't go and talk about you. Because you didn't do what they wanted you to do. What type of love is that? I thought love was kind. I thought it is. That ain't love, right? So the fire is lit. The wind blows it out. And just because you don't see the fire for a second, don't lose hope. Because in that time where that fire is out and you can't see it, he's building up something inside of you. The fire is inside of you to keep you going. And then it will come back again. The fire can't stay out because it's inside of you. Sometimes when you're in your darkest hour, you want to give up because you don't see the fire lit. And so when people look at me and they say, are you okay? I'm like, I just got to endure. I'm okay because I know this is just a season. That's all it is. It's just a season. The fire will come back and it'll be you giving other people hope. But right now, you need somebody to give you hope. And they were on that road and they began to talk about all the things that happened. He was our Savior. He was the one to save Israel. He was the one that the prophets spoke about. But when they started talking about him, they called him, he was a prophet. He did good things. They stopped seeing him as God. They stopped seeing him for who he actually was. They stopped seeing him for sovereign and in control of everything. And when they said, Hosea, 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 and they worshiped him, but now they're saying, you prophet. You are the one talking about the one to come. You aren't the one that has come. But he was the one who had come. He was their victory. And he's in each and every one of you is what I'm trying to say. So when the fire goes out, just endure, because it's coming back again. No hope. You have to know him. You have to know your, who is your hope. Jesus is my hope. It says in Titus, you got actually put this up, Titus chapter 13. Always be looking for your hope. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Thanks, Dad. All right. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's our hope? Jesus Christ. We're always looking for our hope. He says, fix your eyes on me. Do you notice that at the end of this story, when he sat down with them, he gave them bread, and when he gave them bread, then they recognized who he was. The Bible, the scriptures, this is the bread of life. When I was going through the week, I was going through, and nothing helped me. Nothing helped me until I sat myself still and I opened up his word. And when I opened up his word, it didn't matter where I turned to, because the bread had life in it. And when I allowed my blessed hope to begin to minister to me, all of a sudden I began to see him for who he was. I began to understand why I was going through what I was going through. All of a sudden, when I got the bread of life inside of me, my eyes opened. And I said, wow, you're with me in this. You're right here. I'm telling you, the scripture is what we need. God is what we need. I almost, you keep going over and flip over to the next chapter and keep going. I almost read more because I knew that you guys didn't need what I had for you. I knew you guys needed the scripture. The Bible is what we need. I know sometimes Pastor Golden, he'll go and he'll read and he'll read. I'm like, ooh, I need all this word. Because there's a spirit inside of you that bears witness with the word. He brings all things to remembrance. So your spirit man is on the inside of you, and then you have a fleshly man. And if you feed your fleshly man more, you will react and you will think in the fleshly man. But if you feed your spirit man, all of a sudden you will become into a spiritual realm where nothing that's happening on the outside, all this temporal stuff will not even affect you. It won't affect your thinking, and it will allow you to endure until that fire gets lit again. And that's where we have to remain. That's where we have to abide, in the spirit realm. We have to abide in Jesus, our hope. And I'm telling you this because this isn't predicated on age. From the youngest in here to the oldest in here, the word of God will grow you. It will steal you. It will keep you. When you feel like you can't keep going, it doesn't matter how old you are, just read the word. And God will be the one who breaks it down for you. You have to trust the word. You have to trust God. You have to trust Jesus. Go and pray. And sometimes we crawl in here. Some people came leaping. I was happy when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord and worship. But some people weren't so happy. Some people just knew they needed hope. Some people just crawled in here. And sometimes I'm that one. Sometimes I'm that one that crawl in here. I say, I don't care what I go through. I don't care what the enemy's trying to put in my mind. I'm going to come back and get in position. I'm covered when I'm in my position. When you're in your position in Christ, you are covered. Don't stop coming. We don't got to give pastor gifts. We don't got to do all that. Just keep coming. That's the gift to him. Now that I'm starting to grow in this position that God has placed me in, I'm starting to understand what pastor goes. For him to feel like he succeeded is for one of you to succeed. That means, you know how it is, for you who do have kids, you want them to go to high school, and or let's start with middle school, grade school, you want them to be successful. High school, be successful. Go to college, be successful. That's how he is when you're in here. He wants to feed you to spiritual maturity. And when he sees that, that's going to encourage him. When you didn't quit coming, when you didn't stop going, and he knew you were going through it. Everybody else knew you were going through it, but you crawled in here. Because although you couldn't see the hope on the outside, it was that hope on the inside that was keeping you going. Always be looking for that blessed hope. What got me through this week, what got me through it, was I stopped thinking about what I didn't have. And I start thinking about what I did have. So I asked my wife, I said, let's go eat. Let's get Josiah. Let's go to the movies. Let's play with Natalia. I'll go downstairs, and I just got on the floor and just started kicking it with her. I got in my bed, and I said, thank you, God, for my bed. And I told Josiah, I said, Josiah, come pray for me. And then he said, God, thank you for our bed. And I'm like, okay, that prayer must have been on point. You see Jesus because he gave you everything that you have. That's Jesus. I didn't have much today, but I just wanted you to know that sometimes when you don't see hope, know that hope is on the inside of you. And hope is going to manifest itself in time. He said, for times and seasons aren't for you to know. You just continue preaching my gospel, living for me until the time comes that your hope appears. Amen. That's what I got.